We're a little short on time, so let's move on to our second item of business, and that's going to be with Haley talking to us about Parks and Rec's fields fee schedule.
Perfect. So we can kind of go through these slides. I think what prompted really this discussion is we do have a large demand for field space. If you've ever been to Community Park on any given night, there's a lot of users. So we do, if you want to go to look at the comparison chart right here, you can kind of see for field fee per hour, we're pretty low. The only one lowest than us is charging a $5, and they just they have an interesting system in North Salt Lake of where you can just like pull up and register a little field, and so to try to kind of benchmark and align with where we want to be, I think it was a good discussion because people will go around, they'll shop the market, and then decide, oh, Centerville's pretty cheap. I want to try to run all my practices out of there. And not that that isn't a good thing, but we are just not making it worth our time to give the exclusivity to people to do that. So that kind of prompted this discussion. We haven't really looked at our fees since 2017. And in addition to that, we also have some user groups that are kind of on different pages, so to speak, and we can look at that at the end of the presentation. But we have several different user groups and partnerships, and we've got contracts that have expired. Some we don't have a contract in place, and so I'm really, I guess, trying to get out of this a way to simplify that process for everyone, treat all user groups the same, so we kind of have a consistency across the board, and it makes it really cut and dry for anyone sitting in my position of, well, this is what we would charge for that, just to make it simple. There's been some grandfathered users coming and going, and so we just kind of want to tighten everything up and get everything straight across the board. So that's really where this is coming from. So currently, our current fee schedule in practice hasn't been really practical in how we are reserving the fields, so that also kind of prompted this discussion. We're really practicing it in a much more simpler form and applying it, so that's really the updated, why we need to update our fee schedule. And if we want to continue to keep these fees, if we're happy where they're at, we're also happy with that as well. But when we look at our costs, we've got some pretty significant costs. So when we're looking at giving a group some exclusivity, we should consider our costs. And I just wanted to, I had Bruce kind of work numbers for me on all of this, so that when we are considering these fees, we're just doing so with looking at it from an educated standpoint of what our costs are. So what I'm proposing is an increase in our fees. So from that 10 to 30, from that 15 to 20, from that 50 to 85 for a field prep. And I'd like to put into place a priority list so we can kind of, once again, it can be cut and dry of, well, this is, you're that user group, here's your priority when you're requesting these fields, to make it really easy. With, like, for example, South Davis Recreation District, we had an agreement with them that gave them first priority usage. That has since expired, and we've kind of been kicking this conversation down the road, so we need to address it now. And just having this priority use list kind of gives them, hey, we've served our own programs, what do you want next? And then we can accommodate all other users beyond that. So this addresses the field fees in addition to making sure our partners are taken care of, those that are providing programs for our citizens, so we can take care of them as well. And I wanted to look at kind of what the council would like to subsidize, what's important. We have these amazing partners with South Davis, with Ute Conference. They're providing essential programs for our residents, so we definitely want to support them. And I think the question for council is, how much do we want to support them? So there's kind of, I guess, three different goals coming from this work session is, do we want to increase our fees? If so, by how much? So I've proposed something just based on our costs. The second thing is a priority use list. And then the third thing is how to treat our partners and our user groups in terms of what are we comfortable kind of subsidizing them and what are we comfortable charging them. So what questions do you all have?
Haley, looking at the proposed fee schedule that you have proposed, the 30 per hour, 20 per hour for lights, and 85 per field, how much revenue will that generate? If you go to that 14, the other slide that you put together, that said just to like maintain our parks, right, it's 14,000. If we increase the revenue in the way that you proposed, what does that do to our bottom line?
This is this really isn't increasing our revenues. This is covering our costs.
Okay.
We need, we need to increase our revenues, wouldn't it? Because we'd be making more than we were.
Well, sure, yes, yes. But it is just kind of covering our costs.
It's covering
right
our
now,
costs,
we're not
but I just, when she
near.
Said how much would it increase our revenues.
Yeah, like how much do we bring in now under our
That's
current,
a great question.
Current, our current fee schedule, and how much would this change that? I'm just
and I can look at
talking,
that for
like,
us.
Yeah.
I don't have that number in front of me. But
that
yeah,
would,
I can
I mean,
that.
I'm generally in favor because it'll for a while, and it looks like we absolutely have the ability to do that based on the comparisons to other cities. I would just be interested
yeah, that's
to know
a great question.
What the
and
money
I can,
addition is.
My other question is, so if I'm just a rec soccer coach and I take my kids over and there's nobody there and I practice, it doesn't cost me anything. It only costs me if I call and get on your schedule, so I'm guaranteed a field. Is that correct?
Correct.
And they ask us to prep the field, right? So they have a field that's got the lines and all that. Then
right,
right,
right. But then they're going to have called. But if they just take their little team over and practice, they can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For the list of partners, is there a proposal to rank the partners, right? Like, for example, I'm just throwing this out. I'm not suggesting that it is this way, but South Davis Rec Center gets first priority. And then U Conference Tackle Football gets second priority, and then top, like, what if they both want it at the same time, right? How do, or is it just a first come first serve?
So right now yes, we could do first come first served on our priority usage. Say they're all in that same category, we could do that. Right now they don't use them at the same time.
Oh,
so
okay.
If I had somebody looking for space coming in, I'd be like, well, I already have a partnership here at this time, so we could put you on a list essentially.
Got it.
But right now their schedules don't conflict, and that's kind of why we already have these partners. But if they were trying to go for the same thing, I would just have a discussion with my partners and see what we can work out to supply what they need.
Haley, I still don't quite understand that though. Would an other user other than a preferred partner be able to maintain their reservation, or if a partner came in and said, I want it the same night they're already scheduled, could they bump that other person after they've already made a schedule?
No. Where we already have an existing partnership, we would give them, I guess, preference on what they want. And then if we have other people looking, then we can let them know, here's what we've got available if that works for you. Does
okay.
that answer the question, Rick?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if how rigid we were in protecting those partnerships. Would it be to the degree of precluding somebody who had a pre-scheduled event? But it sounds like not. And then I'm favorable, as Council Member Heyman identified. I think a fee increase makes a lot of sense given the time, given the comparison with other cities. And when you crank those numbers, I think we need to look at, is that enough, and go from there.
Sure, yeah.
So my comment or question would go back to that bar graph, and as these would be implemented, where would we fall, and recognize that certain cities, in comparison, their parks in comparison to our parks, what amenities do they provide? What is the quality of their fields in comparison to our fields? And we'd have to take that into consideration. We're not going to be on par, in my thought, with Farmington. And I think that because of Farmington's quality of parks and the amenities that they provide. So what percentage of that would we be looking at to charge on our parks, and where would then we fall with this bar graph?
I think that's where it comes into play, that we're looking at our costs more so than the comparison, right? So we're looking mostly at our costs and say, here's what it costs to cover our costs to maintain our level of service. To your point, our level of service is at this high, maybe not, but we need to maintain, you know, cover some of our costs. And if we do cover our costs, maybe we can add more amenities if we're generating a little bit more revenue for our parks to add in amenities, right? So we're not covering our costs, but also keep in mind that if you want to go to Farmington for the amenities, you can go to Farmington for your amenities. If not, we've become the lesser option, and that's why we're so flooded and so booked.
Good.
So, like our baseball, this won't affect our baseball.
Nope.
This is just people coming in.
Yeah, and we obviously serve our programming first and then take care of our partnerships next and then everyone else, so it's already kind of working like that priority that I've laid out. So obviously our programming comes first. Ute football does kind of affect our fall baseball because we're not able to put up outfield fences because they can't take them down every week for football, but it's worked out where it's still a good quality league.
I'm a little concerned about, I mean, three times raising it, because a lot of this is our kids, so it is going to raise the kids' rates. I don't know how people afford their kids to do anything nowadays anyway, but it makes me a little, I definitely think we need to raise them. I'm a little bit concerned about going from $10 to $30. It seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, and I do think where we have these partnerships that are taking care of our residents, for example, South Davis Recreation and Ute Conference, our residents are participating in those programs. They're essentially providing that program for the area. I think that's where our subsidy.
Too, right?
I think that's where our subsidy does come into play of how much, you know, are we willing to support those programs and support our kids, because we know that the fee could be passed on to them.
But so what we're showing now will affect the rec and all of those things. Equal to anybody else, yeah?
That's correct, and I think that's why I make that your decision on how much do we want to subsidize their rental as a city.
Fair. And you said that we did have an interlocal agreement with South Davis Rec Center that has expired.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we borrowed money from them. And when we borrowed money from them, we offered up our fields as to entice them into lending us the money.
Okay.
It's been controversial since then, but we did do that.
So you're asking us to weigh in on the subsidy for these three partners,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
It would be helpful for me to know how, I mean, these costs look huge, but I don't know how many, how many players are coming from South Davis Recreation District, and how does that, like, I'd like to know, how does that affect the fee, you know, for each of these options, including, like, no subsidy? It'd help me to know, like, oh, this is going to raise it $10 a person or $30 a player, because I agree with Robin, we want to make sure that we are still able to provide some recreational programs that, you know, families can afford.
Of course, yeah. And this is kind of based on their usage, so that we are taking it off of what they're actually using. And like our adaptive soccer program users and rental fees, like they're bringing in something like 30 kids for an hour. It's a very small number.
Right.
So I think that is something to consider, is what's our user group, where soccer is probably bringing in around 900 people throughout that week.
Okay.
I mean, I am cognizant of the fact that we apparently have not raised fees since 2017.
Agreed.
I mean, that is almost a decade. And so people, in terms of serving our residents, they've gotten the benefit for almost a decade of no fee increases. So if we have to make a bigger fee increase to catch up, I mean, we've had the benefit of low subsidized fees for the last almost decade.
I'm completely fine with that. I'm just at a loss as to what I would be comfortable with as far as this subsidy. That to me it makes no sense to me without additional information.
Yeah.
So I think that would be helpful in understanding, like, okay, it's going to impact, you know, this individual I'm assuming it's soccer for South Davis Recreation. We know it's football for youth conference. It helped me to know, like, oh, it's going to impact their fees by, because they're going to have to pass that on to the user. So I know that maybe is a little tiny bit of homework, but.
Not at all, yeah.
I don't mean to say it's tiny. It may not be tiny, but it would help me to know, like, here's how this impacts the individual fees and what percentage they're going to go up. I don't need to know the dollar amount, but maybe just a, you know.
Yeah.
Because we have been so low, it may be that we need to move up somewhat, but maybe not the full amount this go round, and then just not let it go for another 9 years, like,
yeah.
You know.
And we can phase that in too. I know that Brant and I have talked about that as well, as kind of over time, you know, it's 50% this year, then 100% next, or whatever it is. I was kind of proposing implement this in year 2027 so that they do have some notice. We have been telling our user groups, like, we're looking at our fees. This has kind of been an issue. So they are warned that something is happening, and we could phase something in. But, yeah, I can get overall revenue impact, the user group fees. So any...
Just something to help me understand a little better how that impacts the end user at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, Shaylin. We do probably need to get them up. And I definitely think we should be trying to cover, you know, we're not talking about renting the land necessarily. We're talking about direct costs that are just prepping the field, just keeping them in good working order. So I don't want to
be... Just a comment I would make is the $20 for lights, that's our actual cost of electricity to run the lights for an hour is $20.
Yeah.
And the field prep, it actually costs us $85 in labor and equipment and chalk and stuff to prep the field.
Right.
So I wouldn't recommend subsidizing those fees.
Okay.
But your user fee, where we're going to be mowing the lawn and fertilizing it and watering it, regardless of whether someone's playing on it or not. And so those you could certainly subsidize with our partners.
That's very good information.
But yeah,
if
you choose to subsidize our light fee, that means Centerville citizens are going to pay for part of the electricity bill.
I don't think we should subsidize those types of expenses. That's just my opinion, but it would be helpful to maybe just kind of those are very helpful pieces to
I
weigh in.
That gave me a little bit more of an insight. My only other thought in this is, if we give these people I don't know who else uses the fields, but are we giving, like, South Davis Rec a real advantage over somebody else that's trying to run the same kind of program, because they can use our fields for more, so much cheaper, but our kids are still using whatever program it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know who those people are, so I would need probably to sit down with you on a one-on-one and have you help me understand who else uses our fields. But what if I decided I wanted to start up my own little soccer thing and have the kids around here come to soccer? Well, they can rent the fields for half of what I can, then I can't compete. I can't give the kids an alternative.
Haley, as you're gathering data, I think it would be helpful for us to know, in terms of usage, is most of the usage coming from partner groups versus individuals? And if it's individuals, how many people are using it, and how much revenue are we bringing in on those? Because that may really impact what we choose to subsidize and how we do it. So I just think more financial data would be helpful.
Okay.
A huge complaint that I get with South Davis is that a lot of their stuff fills up within hours, and so people can't partake. And so that's why I feel like there maybe needs to be somebody subsidizing it out there, because a lot of the people will tell me, well, I called 2 hours after it opened, or I got online 2 hours after it opened, and it was already full. You as a city don't give us anything anymore. I mean, we used to do junior jazz and soccer and all of that, and we turned it all over to them. And now there's not enough room for our kids to play, and I get complaints about that.
All right, so I've got, I think, the direction I need to get you some more information to kind of go off of, so thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And I think that brings our work meeting to an end. Do I have a motion?
So moved to dismiss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.